Hello and welcome to Stream and Chill. My name is Ian and this is a podcast where my co-host Matt and I share our opinions about our favorite pieces of content streaming right now.
Each week we'll take turns swapping recommendations because our hope is to help you find content you love but haven't seen yet.
With that, I had Matt watch In Bruges this week. It's a film by Martin Donagh starring Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, respectively as two hitmen that after a fatal mistake end up in Bruges, a nice little town in Belgium who, to steal some words from Roger Ebert, if you don't know how to pronounce it, neither do the characters, because they don't really care to be there. But Ray struggles to settle in, while Ken quite enjoys the pool and countryside life with the swans. And I think more than any episode, spoiler warnings, we're going to get pretty deep into this movie, I think. Yeah. We'll see. Matt, what did you think of this movie? And kick us off with, where, when, and why do you think you should see In Bruges?
Yeah, for sure. So I think where I would watch it is, it's Tuesday night, you know, you worked really hard at your 9-to-5 and you're just like, hey, I want to take a break, but I want to have something funny that kind of pinches you in the hardest spots, but also say, hey, make it funny. Pushing buttons that make you feel a little uncomfortable, but also, you know, go for the gut and make you laugh at every single point in time.
I really like that description. That's the exact moment you would watch something like Fargo,
yeah,
per se, mm-hmm. or a Coen Brothers movie. It's a, definitely a dark comedy. Also, this is streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, and yeah, it was back. It was made back in 2008, and it does start out a little slow. It even states that right within the opening of the film, is that there's just shots of Bruges going, and you're kind of like, okay, what the hell is this? I'd say, you know, give it like 20-30 minutes, and then I think the dialogue really hooks you, right? Yeah. So when it comes to, yeah, the opening line, like, no, I felt, you know, really hooked me in, because it's like, okay, I'm going to hide. After I kill someone in London, I'm going to hide my gun inside of a Burger King in the restroom. And you're like, what the hell is going on? And ultimately, what I found is just like, here's a wild and wacky story that, A, doesn't take itself too seriously, but you're there for along for the ride. And, you know, ultimately, just fun to watch.
Yeah, and for context, this movie is, I think, the second or third film from the director, Martin Donagh, who comes from a playwright background, and to my understanding, a very like prestigious one in Ireland. And I think, as you and I discuss, it definitely shows in both the writing, in the setup, and even in the way the actors interact with each other. He obviously knows what he's doing when he sets up a scene.
Right. Yeah, no, you can even see that within like the shot list, right? So, for example, like right when the movie opens, right? What happens is you don't see the characters open up really quickly. It's just wide shot after wide shot to set the stage to say, hey, we're in Bruges right now. And, you know, really soak you into the environment as opposed to a, you know, a quote unquote blockbuster movie where you jump right into the characters. I felt like that's what the difference of this film had in contrast to like a blockbuster film.
Were you thinking of Hobbs and Shaw? And that intro.
the counterpoint to Hobbs and Shaw, right?
Right. It's funny because as much as Ray hates In Bruges, mm-hmm. it makes me want to go to Bruges, Belgium.
Right. So, yeah, when we talk about the characters, you have Ray, right? Who, in my opinion, is kind of a like a yuppie 20-year-old who is kind of bratty, who like does whatever the hell he wants because he can. And then you also have Ken, right, who's an older gentleman who appreciates the quote-unquote finer things. And what happens between these two is that, you know, it's a really great yin and yang kind of relationship. Though, despite the hate, right, that Ray gives in Bruges, he falls in love with it. And yeah, that was just enjoyable to see. I guess my question to you is, like, how did you feel about Ken and Ray and, like, their relationship?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I think it's so well illustrated in their conversation during their first night. Or maybe it's their second night, where Ray asks Ken, do you want to have fun or do you want to do culture? Yeah. As if these two things are polar opposite of each other. He's right. Like, we can do the culture and then we can have fun at night. Right. Like, that's how Ray is with Ken. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hilarious to watch these two kind of just go at it and back, like, bat each other at every corner and how different their personalities are. And it's also interesting to see because they're both hitmen, and yeah. and I feel like that slowly fades away in the movie almost on purpose. Like, you forget that these people are contract killers, right? But they couldn't be any more different than each other.
And yeah, that's, I think it's perfectly illustrated with the, with Ray's character, right? Is that he's new to this quote unquote industry and he's just here to have some fun, right?
Yeah.
And then Ken is the old dog, right? Who leads him through the darkest routes.
What did you think of the dialogue? So I know like Ray and Ken are great together, but I feel like what accentuates it is the dialogue they have with each other. And I know you have a big point to make about the dialogue as we were talking offline.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'll compare this to Pulp Fiction, right? Like the dialogue in Pulp Fiction is just instant classic because every single line has a purpose. And then it's like the weirdest details that they bring in that are just some of the most memorable, right? Like a Royale with cheese, right, in Pulp Fiction. And then in contrast, right, when you think of In Bruges, right, there's just lines that come in that you're just like, what the hell are they doing? What the hell are they talking about? But at the end of the day, like everything weaves together beautifully, right? And I think the comment I want to make here is what's brilliant about the writing is that it's not just, it's just scene after scene and what's the funniest situation that we can think of and then put Ken and Ray in it. Instead, what actually happens in the movie and what's awesome about the writing is that there's layers, right? Is that one scene, right? They'll make a joke, right? But then they'll jump to another scene where the characters are in different settings or they might even be different characters, right? Because we didn't even start talking about the secondary characters like the dwarf or...
And Chloe,
right? Mm. And the nuance there is that the writing allows for jokes to have depth in different scenes as opposed to, oh, let me just have a funny scene and then, okay, we're just going to throw all that away and then go to another scene. And that's what I really appreciate about In Bruges.
That's true. And I think that's a very good point because it kind of connects to a playwright and in, I think, a lot of theater and plays. The side characters are surprisingly well fleshed out, not so much as in movies, right?
Yeah.
I think by nature, you have more time in theater, right? They're obviously present, active in front of you. But I think aside from that, it shows through that like the dwarf and Chloe are huge parts of the movie.
Yeah.
And they are more fleshed out in general than I think the other movies we've talked about, like Rain Man and Ip Man. We've talked about movies in the past where like, man, these side characters, if you remove them, there's really nothing left. They would be fine. The movie would go fine.
Yeah. Those movies you mentioned, right? Those side characters perform more as a function as opposed to style, right?
Oh, if we go to Harry, of course, Harry, the mob boss, huge character.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the guy who robs, right, Ray, mm-hmm. at some point.
Right.
Also, surprisingly in-depth.
Yeah.
Shows up, makes sense. And right. I'm like, wow, it actually did add some dimension to this movie, where if he wasn't there, I'd be like, this scene's probably missing something, right? Like, how did they go from that point to that point?
Yeah. And I think the magic there, the side characters, it feels like they have their own lives, as opposed to them revolving around Ray and Ken. One of the characters, right, who I won't spoil, but Chloe's boyfriend, he kind of seems like a ridiculous character, right? And almost like a punching bag. But in fact, like, what makes him so dynamic is because, he has these lines, but at the same time, you can see, he works with Chloe. And you could see that he's part of this universe as opposed to, he's just some side character.
Yeah. And Chloe, for context, I don't know if we stated this, is Ray's love interest mm-hmm. in the whole film and kind of what keeps him driving forward in Bruges.
yeah, absolutely. The one thing I did want to mention, though, is how did you feel about pacing in the movie?
I will say, so second time viewing, definitely less of an impact than the first. The first, I love this movie, obviously why I recommend it. Second, a little bit more dulled. The beginning, I think, is pretty slow compared to a lot of modern movies that we see today. And as we discussed, like the director also did 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And I think that movie paced way better than In Bruges. I don't know if that's a different style or maybe he has improved as a director or maybe he has like a new editor that he prefers to work with. But In Bruges is definitely a slow burn. And I think even up until the end, like it's very slowly paced, right? Even the climax and conclusion is not quick at all. In fact, they even have like a whole scene where it's kind of just straight up dialogue, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a standstill. It's a very long thing. And you definitely have to pay close attention to what the characters are saying because that's where the real meat is. It's not in like what they're doing, but it's what they're saying to each other in this mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to completely agree there. I think when it comes to In Bruges, a lot of the growth in the characters happens through the dialogue, not through actions, right? Like, yes, the characters are demonstrating certain things, like as the movie progresses, but a lot of it just happens because they're working off each other and talking, right? I think when it comes to pacing, that was the hard part for me to buy into this movie, is because I have a lot of friends who love In Bruges, right? I mentioned off air that, hey, my dad has a copy of this in DVD. You loved it. And like whenever I mention it, people are like, oh, yeah, it's a classic. You got to watch it. And I could definitely see why people love it. I think, though, for me, at least when I'm watching it from a 2019 perspective and watching it for the first time, and this is just a hypothesis, but my hypothesis is that I have a shorter attention span, right? And because like, oh, I consume content like just like that, and you have to just jump into things, I felt like In Bruges was hard for me to get into, at least initially. But then when I was like hearing this dialogue and just like Colin Farrell just like reciting these crazy lines, are just like, what the hell's going on? It was just something that I just had to find out and keep going. And I think that's what made me keep going, is more of the dialogue keeping me hooked, as opposed to, oh, sharp editing and quick cuts and whatnot. It was very much witty writing that kept me interested along for the ride.
I think it's funny you frame this as like the opposite of Hobbs and Shaw, which I would say, yes, it is, right? Like, it's the polar opposite. Both are like, I would say heavy around like action and guns, but this is the opposite way to do that kind of right. movie. If like we saw this in Driver on like one end, and then like Hobbs and Shaw and John Wick on the other.
Right. No, yeah, like, yeah, Hobbs and Shaw was just pure action. And I think when you compare that to In Bruges really only has maybe two or three action scenes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But the gunplay is like heavy. Like, guns are a big part of this film.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a big symbol and reason for why everything is happening in this movie, pretty much.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe that's the holy water of this movie that I didn't catch, honestly, on my first go around. Like, I remember us talking off air about like symbolism. Like, how did that play a role, like especially when you were watching it?
Yeah, for sure. The way the story is set up, with the different hints and different foreshadowing they give with specific buildings, different objects, different people, I think really tells a lot about the power of this screenwriter. And I think it really just shines through there. It's tough to talk about the symbolism without ruining anything. Right. But what I can say is, like, just pay attention. Everything has a reason for being there. Like, if a character is invested in something, there is a reason why they're invested in it. And it has a payoff that will come, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so important that you stick to it if you do decide to watch this movie. Which I think is kind of our end conclusion for this movie, where it's like, this movie's a great Tuesday night watch, because hopefully, you know, you're not about to go out like later in the day. You can like really put your energy towards this movie, because you really want to soak it all in order to really enjoy it. And I feel like we've watched two movies in a row where you really do need to soak it in and pay attention, that being Rain Man and this.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy movies, I would say. Like, if you get distracted, you'll probably miss a lot of why these movies are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And I think as a last comment, Roger Ebert, he gave this movie 4 stars.
A rare achievement.
Right. In parallel to one of my favorite movies, he gave 500 Days of Summer, my favorite rom-com, 4 stars. What I felt about the movie is, like, for me, I think I only needed to see it once. But I know for some other people, like, they live and die by this movie, right? They put this, like, in their top 25, top 10. And I guess that In my opinion, I feel like all of that comes down to what kind of humor you like. And what In Bruges manages to do, like, it pushes buttons where you're kind of like, oh, like, I'm not sure if we should talk about this anymore. Or, hey, this is not PC. Or, hey, we're talking about midgets, right? And what In Bruges does is, like, you know, really take a turn on that kind of humor. And, you know, like, pokes fun at it, and it was fun to watch. I think if you're into dark humor, great recommend. That's how I felt about it. How about you, Ian?
Same. I think this is a good recommendation if you like any type of dark humor at all. And with that, I think that kind of concludes our thoughts around In Bruges. So with that, we kind of move into our next section. If you like this, then you'll like that. I'll take the first stab at it. If you like In Bruges, I definitely think you'll like Mindhunter. There's not much correlation in terms of cast or directors or screenwriters, but David Fincher is very dark in his writing and all his work. And I would say if you enjoy this, especially the dark moments in Bruges, you will definitely enjoy Mindhunter. Zero comedy in Mindhunter.
Right.
Maybe one chuckle or two. But it does have the same level of suspense, the same level of dialogue. And to a certain extent, in Bruges borderlines on like psychological thriller as you really get into these minds of these hitmen. And I would say if it wasn't set in Bruges, you'd be pretty freaked out for both of these men right. as they kind of move through the movie. But it does have that light overlay. So if you just strip that away and instead follow two cops, you would probably have something that looks like Mindhunter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally agree. I feel like Mindhunters is a great show on Netflix to be invested in, and yeah, it's a fun watch.
Right.
Even though it's a dramatic scene in time.
Yes, and I forgot to say, Mindhunter is about the two people who essentially invent the word serial killer and investigate on what it is to be a serial killer and try to hunt these people down and put them in jail.
Sounds good. Yeah, and for my recommendation, if you like this, then you'll like that. Has to be Pulp Fiction, directed by Quentin Tarantino and argued as his magnum opus and released in 1994. Pulp Fiction follows a myriad of stories, but I think there's one big storyline with Samuel L. Jackson and I'm forgetting the other guy's name.
John Travolta.
John Travolta's
name.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh man, that's a sin, right? But no, yeah, it has Samuel L.
Literally
Jackson.
Has one of the most famous scenes in cinema.
Yes.
In movies.
Yeah. Like, and he's a meme.
And you forgot his, oh my.
Yeah, that's a sin, I know, right? And yeah, no, I think the reason why I recommend Pulp Fiction is twofold, right? The first is, there is a tangential connection where you have two hitmen, right, in Bruges, and you have two hitmen right here in Pulp Fiction, followed by Samuel L. Jackson and Travolta. And the second is what we love about In Bruges, right, is this idea of dialogue and having depth, and then the dialogue just being so memorable. And I felt that in both movies, and I feel like Pulp Fiction is a really good, hey, if you want to have some really fun dialogue and have some fun on a Tuesday night, I felt like Pulp Fiction would also fill the boat there.
Awesome. And with that, that kind of wraps up our podcast. If you like In Bruges, then check out Mindhunter on Netflix as well, or check out Pulp Fiction, also on Netflix. We're a very Netflix-heavy show. And if you really like this, remember to leave a review or follow this wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. And on next episode, we'll watch Groundhog Day,
starring Bill Murray.
See you on the next one.
Peace.